All right. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Amen. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely.
Amen.
And shall be quiet from fear of evil.
Praise the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your goodness, and I pray tonight that you'd help us. Lord, please use me that you might be a blessing to us, that we might take your word and be helped and encouraged by it. So please remove any distractions from this room and from our minds tonight. May your word have free course. And Lord, I pray that every single person under the sound of my voice, every person that's sitting in this room that's listening to your word, would choose tonight your wisdom.
Yes, we pray, Lord.
Please help us now.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Several weeks ago we began this Wednesday evening journey through the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is one of the five poetical books in the Bible. It is often called, think about this, the book of wisdom. You say, well, the Bible's a book of wisdom. I know. But Proverbs was specifically given to us for the very purpose to give you and me wisdom. And we need it, by the way. We don't have it in and of ourselves. You see, this entire book's about wisdom. 31 chapters of the book, the word wisdom and its forms, are found in 118 verses. And that's nearly four times in every chapter God is saying something about wisdom, about wisdom, about the wise. Every single chapter of this book of the Bible mentions wisdom in some way.
Amen.
Are we getting the point? I think we should. Wisdom is defined as this, having the power of discernment. Being able to discern, to see what is right and wrong, to understand where things will lead, and judging properly as to what is true and right. Wisdom defined, possessing discernment, judgment, and discretion. Perhaps a practical definition for the Christian of wisdom would be this, knowing God's truth. Knowing what God says, and then how and when to use it. Can I say that again?
Amen.
Knowing God's truth, knowing what He says, and then how and when to use it. It's having the ability to apply God's truth, God's word, to situations, putting it into practice in a way that will bring forth the best results for everyone involved, because it always does when you apply God's wisdom, because God's way is the best way.
Amen.
And don't ever forget that there's only one place to get true wisdom.
Amen.
That's God. From God Himself.
Amen.
Not by experience, more about that later. Not from some YouTube guru, not from anybody else, but from God.
Amen.
God is the source of wisdom. By the way, if there's any other person that says something that agrees with the God's word, it's not because they're wise, it's because they got it from God. God is wise.
Amen.
They didn't come up with it themselves.
Right.
Now the Bible clearly tells us of the importance of wisdom. Look over at chapter 4 and verse 7. We'll get to this later as we go through this book of the Bible. Not verse by verse, but just picking some things up along the way. But notice verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. You say, preacher, I thought money was the principal thing. You're wrong.
Right.
I thought popularity and friendships were the principal thing. You're wrong. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And by the way, the earlier you and I get wisdom, the better.
Amen.
You know, the world has an old saying, and it says this, hindsight is 20/20. It's true. In other words, it's easier to see clearly what you should have done after the fact than before or during the situation, isn't it? You know, with God's Word, we can know what to do beforehand. We can understand. Look back at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 4. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. That's what it's for. Someone once said this. Please excuse the word if you don't like it. I'm just quoting him. Life is hard. It's even harder for stupid people. And that's true. I mentioned the statement I heard a preacher say not long ago. He said this, and I like it. I'll say it again. Life's greatest decisions must be made before we are old enough and wise enough to make them.
Amen.
So how do we do it? Well, we guess. No, we get God's wisdom.
Amen.
Don't ever forget, the consequences of wrong decisions can linger for decades. They can linger for a lifetime. Some of them, in certain cases, create irreparable damage. The decisions we make are so important. That's why we all desperately need God's wisdom.
Amen.
Think about it. Our God created us. He's the Almighty. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what is in man. He knows what is in this world. He knows what lies ahead for you and for me. And He knows what's best for us. And best of all, He wants what's best for us. Do we? You see, He wants to guide us through this world with His wisdom. But here's the question. The question is, will we receive it? And will we heed it? You know, when you boil it all down, isn't it a matter of faith?
Amen.
We either believe God or we don't.
Right.
Notice verse 20, 31 and 32 of our text. We read, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So there's going to be some that are going to hearken to God, and then there's going to be some that don't.
Right.
Wisdom. It's a matter of faith. Now, for the first of several times in the book of Proverbs, we see in our passage something very interesting. We see wisdom being personified. In other words, wisdom is being described here as a person. Matter of fact, a woman. It says she. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, later in the book, the personification of wisdom is clearly found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is wisdom's ultimate personification. God is wisdom. Christ is wisdom.
Right.
But here it's personified as a woman. And I want to follow this story here along to see if we can't learn several things about wisdom as it's personified in this woman. Notice, first of all, number one, the cry of wisdom. Look at verse 20. We read, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words. Can you get the visual here? Do you read your Bible with a little bit of imagination? If you do, you could see wisdom being portrayed as this woman who is crying.
She's crying without, the Bible says. She is uttering her voice in the streets. She is in the chief place of the concourse. She is in the opening of the gates. She is going all throughout the city, uttering her words. What a picture that's being painted. Here is this woman, wisdom, going all around the city. She's in the streets where people are going about their daily business, crying out. She's in the marketplace where people are purchasing things, where they're going, crying out. She's in the gate where the political leaders are, and she's crying out. I can see her waving her arms, knocking on people's homes, on their doors, but no one's answering. As if people are ignoring her. They've shut her out of their lives. Can you see her saying, "Hey!
Right. Amen.
Does anybody hear me? Is there anybody that's going to understand?"
Amen.
It's almost like she's speaking to zombies. People just going around as if they can't even see her. Don't even know she's there and can't hear. It's as if no one cares. That's the picture here. You know, and as I think of that scene, I think of two things. I think of, first of all, her accessibility. That's your letter A, by the way. By the way, notice this woman's not somebody hard to find. they're not looking for her. We'll get to that here in a minute. Yeah, she's not somebody that's hard to access. She is readily available.
Praise the Lord.
She's there.
Amen.
And by the way, that's the way wisdom is. You see, wisdom is not something, contrary to what the world may propagate, it's not something that is hidden. It's not something that you need some special key to unlock, or you have to be born a certain way to have wisdom. That's not true. Because wisdom is readily available to all of us.
Praise the Lord.
In God's Word.
Amen.
Look over at chapter 2 and verse 6. The Bible says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." Notice it's God that has wisdom, and His wisdom is in His Word.
Amen.
I think of the prophet Daniel, some of the things he said about wisdom. Daniel 1:17. "As for these four children," watch this, "God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom." These little teens, if you will, whatever their age was at the time, they had God's wisdom. Daniel 2:20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." Daniel 2:23, "I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom." Oh, I love James 1:5. "If any of you lack wisdom," that's me.
Amen.
"Let him ask of God."
Amen.
"That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given." It's not in myself, it's in God.
Amen.
But I have access to it.
Praise the Lord.
You know, the world wants you to think that wisdom is something that is very difficult to find. And that wisdom, they say that wisdom can only be granted through experience, through years of life. In fact, one of the sayings that the world uses again and again is this: experience is the best teacher. Experience is not the best teacher. God is the best teacher, not experience. You know, in a September 3rd, 2020 article entitled "How to Gain Wisdom," the author wrote this. He says, "Wisdom is a virtue that isn't innate, but can only be acquired through experience. Anyone who is interested in trying new things and reflecting on the process has the ability to gain wisdom. by learning as much as you can, analyzing your experience and putting your knowledge to the test, you can become a wiser person. That's not the way you get wisdom. That's what they say. As a matter of fact, in chapter 1 and verse 4, notice it says one of the reasons of Proverbs, I'll read it again, I read it a few moments ago, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion.
Amen.
So a young man can have... You see, in the world's eyes, they say you gain wisdom by trying new things and experiencing different things in life. And then from those experiences, you learn the consequences of those experiences. And you analyze those results and you learn from them. That may sound good on the surface, but that's a foolish way of living. It's foolish. You see, experience does not determine or establish truth. Experience only confirms the truth that God has already established.
Praise the Lord.
Did you get that?
Amen.
I know some of you have been working all day. It's kind of hard to listen tonight. But that's what it is. I'm going to say it again. Experience does not determine or establish truth. It merely confirms the truth that God has already established. Wouldn't it be easier in life to simply believe God and put into practice His truth instead of living a life by a series of trials and errors, and hopefully you're going to figure this thing out if you don't kill yourself in the process?
Amen.
My point is this, wisdom is available to us if we want it. Notice her accessibility. She's crying. She's waving her arms. But I notice, secondly, her activity. It's interesting. She's begging for people's attention.
Amen.
The word's crying. Wisdom crieth without. She's pursuing people. She's going after people. She is burdened by what she is seeing all around her. She knows that she has people's best interests in mind. She wants what's best for others. She has the answer that people are looking for.
That's right.
But notice she's not forcing anyone to listen. She's merely pleading with everyone to listen.
Amen.
This is the picture of wisdom.
Right.
Her accessibility and her activity. Crying for people to listen. And I wonder tonight, will we heed? Will we listen?
Amen.
So we see the cry of wisdom. Then secondly, would you write this down? The question of wisdom. So what's she crying out? Oh, we see her going around. We see her accessibility. We see, of course, her activity. She's pursuing. What is she saying to them? What is she saying? Well, she's asking a question. Look at verse 21 again. We read, wisdom. I'll read verse 20 as well. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, here it is, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Notice she's asking a question. It's not a difficult question. As a matter of fact, if you boil it down, it's a two-word question. Notice two things about this. Number one, her simple message. What is her message? How long?
Right.
Can you say that with me? How long? Let's say it again. How long? That's what she's asking.
Amen.
That's a great question, by the way.
Right.
One we ought to ask ourselves. How long? You see, we see three parts to this how long. It's really one question in three parts. Notice, how long will ye love simplicity? How long will ye delight in scorning? How long will ye hate knowledge? How long are you going to do this?
Amen.
In other words, how long is it going to be until we finally learn that we need to stop doing things our way and start doing things her way?
Amen.
God's way. Wisdom personified. Do you know Proverbs 14:12 says this. It's also repeated in Proverbs 16:25. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Amen.
In other words, if we probably think it's right in our own flesh, it's probably wrong. If it's our own idea, it's probably not the way to go. Have you figured out yet that your way doesn't work?
Right.
Have you figured it out yet?
Amen.
My way doesn't work. Our way doesn't work. Man's way. And that God's way is the best way. You know, it takes some people a long time to figure that out. But you got to get to the place where you figure it out. Proverbs 18:30, as for God, His way is perfect.
Praise the Lord.
Wow. It is.
Amen.
You know, we've all heard people say this, that the definition of insanity, and I know this isn't the dictionary definition, but we use it all the time, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. That's the definition of insanity. But isn't that what we do when we don't follow God's wisdom? We do it again and again and again and again and again. You know, when I was young, I, like many young men, went through, and not all do, but I did, I went through a lazy stage. I did, baby. I did. It was probably from, you know, that sixth grade, eighth grade, middle age where not all, but some boys can be quite annoying at that age. They think they're funny, but they're not. You know, that sort of thing. Well, I went through that stage myself. The lazy stage. By the way, some people are still in that stage. But I didn't want to work. I wanted to do it. You know, I spent more time and energy and effort trying to get out of work than it would have taken to just go ahead and do the work. We know that, right? That's part of Christian education, because you see kids come through, and boy, they go to great lengths to try to get out of work. And they put so much effort and work in trying to get out of work that it would have been easier for them just to do the work in the first place. But they don't get that. Now, I eventually realized, I said, you know what? This ain't working. Because guess what? The work isn't going away. It's still there. I still got to do it. I can hem and haw and delay and say I was over here and make excuses and say I'm tired and do whatever I want to do. But guess what? It didn't work. My way wasn't working. And of course the Bible says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
Amen.
That's the thing to do, is just work.
Right.
By the way, that's why we were put on this earth, to work. You see, it's always better in the long run to do things God's way. Now, at the moment, it may seem like, but in the long run, it's always better. Always is.
Amen.
It's always better to study for the test.
Amen.
Instead of hoping you just get by or even maybe, you know, cheating.
Right.
It's always better to work hard in all you do instead of trying to get out of work all the time. It's always better to get a job than sit around the house playing video games or sponging off your parents. It's always better to slowly and methodically work and save your money instead of trying some get-rich-quick scheme. They don't work!
Right.
Well, they said online that if I just this, I could be a millionaire in 3 weeks. Are you still falling for that garbage? That's not God's way. It's not God's way. It's always better to not get into debt than it is to run up credit cards and student loans and car payments and not spend more than you earn. You learn that yet? Young person, have you learned it's better to practice courtship with parental involvement and not date? God's way is better. It's better to not to touch a woman before marriage than to get yourself in trouble.
Amen.
It's always better to stay away from cigarettes and beer and wine and marijuana now. Everything's just about legal anymore.
Right.
You see, the simple message of wisdom is this. How long is it going to take for us to realize our way doesn't work.
Amen.
It doesn't work. You know, there are many people, and all of us to some degree, that look back on our lives and say, I wish I didn't do that.
Right.
I wish I didn't make that decision. I wish I did it God's way.
Amen.
We all say that to some degree. But God forbid we'd look back on a totally ruined and wasted life and finally say, yeah, I guess my way ain't working. Well, your life's over now. You know, 1969, and I know we don't agree with this kind of music, but Frank Sinatra came out with a song that was real popular. You remember what it was? I did it, I'm not going to sing it. I did it my way. I did it my way. You know, that's the theme song of sure failure.
Amen.
Well, it's going to be different for me, preacher. No, it's not.
Right. Amen.
Because God's word is true.
Praise the
Lord. So there's a simple message that she has. But notice, letter B, write this down. There's some specific people she's saying this to. Now notice, the question is, how long? How long? How long? But she's saying it to different people, three different people asking the question. By the way, these are three types of people that are ignoring God's wisdom.
Right.
Here they are. Number one, there's the simple. The simple. Who are they? Here's the definition, if you want to write it down. That's the unlearned. That's the person that has never been taught. That's the person that is immature. That is the person that may be ignorant to the things of God, ignorant to God's wisdom. Now this person may be lost. They may not have grown up in a lost home, or they just may be immature in the Lord. Maybe a babe in Christ. The point is this: they don't understand. They're not mature. They've never been taught. And so they do things their own way. By the way, one of the reasons we have the rules in the Christian school, one of the reasons we have the handbook, is to try to teach them that their way doesn't work.
Amen.
That God's way is the best way.
Praise the Lord.
And by the way, you might want to write this down, we all start out simple.
Amen.
We all do. Nobody's born with wisdom. Nobody's born knowing these things. They have to be taught. They have to be learned.
Amen.
So we all start out simple, but we shouldn't stay there.
Amen.
Well, I just don't want to hear it. No, you should want to hear it. We should want to learn.
Amen.
So the first person, she says, how long will ye simple love simplicity? You know, when I was a child, I did things. I spake as a child, but when I became a man, you put away childish things. That's what part of life is. Then there's a scorner. Again, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners, notice, delight in their scorning. What is a scorner? Who is that person? Again, we're talking about three people that are not abiding by God's wisdom. And the one is simple. This one is one who has heard the Word of God, one who knows the Word of God, but chooses to mock it and sneer at it. He knows what he's supposed to do. Perhaps this one's grown up in church, or perhaps went through the Christian school, or maybe in a Christian home, and they know better. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. But instead, they choose to go their own way. By the way, that person thinks he's smarter than God. He thinks, as I said earlier, he can do what he wants to do, or she can do what she wants to do, and things are going to turn out different for me. It's all going to work out for me. Stand in line, buddy. Because many have tried that path.
Right.
This could be a lost person or a backslidden Christian. It could be either one. Listen to some things that Proverbs says about a scorner. Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And so a scorner is filled with his own ways.
Right.
Proverbs 15:12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A scorner doesn't like to be told what to do. Don't tell me I did something wrong. Leave me alone. And then Proverbs 21:24, proud and haughty scorner is his name. A scorner is someone who's filled with pride. See, all of us are going to fit into one of these three categories tonight. You may be, if we're going the wrong way, we're either using God's wisdom, but if we're not, then we're either simple, we just don't know it, or we're a scorner, we know it, and we kind of mock at it. But then there's a third one, and that's the fool. Notice again, and fools hate knowledge. You see, the fool is the one that says in his heart, according to Psalm 14:1, there is no God. He's the guy, by the way, along with the scorner, these two can overlap, but the fool is the kind of guy who tries to scam his way through life. He looks for loopholes in everything. He tries to scheme his way through everything. He does whatever it takes to get ahead. He thinks God doesn't see. He thinks God doesn't know. He thinks he doesn't need church. He doesn't need God. And he doesn't need the Bible. You see, in his mind, he's doing just fine. Because he's getting away with everything. He thinks. Right. Tries to figure all that stuff out, you know. How can I get over on things? Proverbs 12:15 says this, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. But you know, sooner or later, he'll learn his way doesn't work.
Amen.
Because he's a fool. So my point is this, whichever category you are in, maybe you're the wise and you're seeking God's wisdom, praise the Lord. But if you're not, you'll be either the simple or the scorner or the fool. The question's the same for all of them, all three of them. She cries out, how long? How long? You gonna keep this up? How much destruction do you have to see? How much devastation do you have to see before you get it? That's the question of wisdom. But then notice number three, not only the cry of wisdom, the question of wisdom, but notice thirdly, the call of wisdom. So here it is, verse 23. Wisdom, this woman now says this, turn you at my reproof.
Amen.
Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Notice the call of God personified in wisdom says this, turn you at my reproof. Notice the word reproof. You say, what do you mean by that? Why are you saying that? You see, when we go our own way, God makes our life difficult.
Right.
He does that.
Right, the Lord.
Well, it's just dumb luck. No, it's not. God is making it hard. Proverbs 13:15 says this. Let me get there. It says, good understanding giveth favor. Watch this. But the way of transgressors is hard.
Amen.
You see, you can keep plowing and keep pushing and keep going forward, but understand something. God is going to resist the proud.
Amen.
That's what he does. Proverbs 22:5, we read, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward.
Amen.
You're going to find out that the way you're going just ain't working out for you. The job doesn't work out.
Right.
The finances aren't working out. You're going to find trouble surrounding you on every side. You're going to be saying, I don't get it, I just can't get ahead here. Yeah. That's right. Because God is resisting you.
Amen.
Not only that, but as a believer, we lose our joy and we lose our peace. And notice the call here that God gives to everyone is to turn. Turn to God. Repent. Turn from your way and turn to God's way. Think about it. Even though that person is going his own way, whether it be a fool or a scorner or a simple, God in His mercy says to the wayward, come, come this way. Follow me. I'll show you the way.
Praise the Lord.
And He still reaches out and says, if you do, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon you.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
I'm going to give you understanding. I'm going to make my words known unto you. I'm going to pour out a blessing upon you.
Praise the Lord.
Imagine our God in His mercy, no matter where we are in our lives spiritually, no matter how far away from God that we get, He promises if you turn to Him, He can and will restore you.
Praise Jesus. Amen.
That's what a God we serve.
Micah
7:18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy.
Praise the Lord.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Amen.
He wants to show us mercy.
Amen.
He delights in it.
Praise Jesus.
What a God we have.
Hallelujah.
He calls us.
Amen.
She's calling. Turn. Hey, I'm here. Turn at my reproof. Turn to me. I'll bless you. I'll pour out my Spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you.
Amen.
But then we see the last thing as wisdom's personified, not only the cry of wisdom, the question of wisdom, the call of wisdom. Notice the caution of wisdom. The caution. It's interesting. In verse 24, the whole tone of the passage changes.
Amen.
It begins by a woman that's out in the streets, that's knocking on doors, that's shouting in the concourses, that's in the marketplaces, that's in the gates of the city trying to wave people over. Hey, listen to me. How long are you going to love your simplicity? Turn to me.
Amen.
But then notice the change in verse 24. Because I've called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said in naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil.
Amen.
You see, for those who reject God's wisdom, ominous consequences await.
Lord have mercy.
It's a serious thing.
Amen.
Notice what we find. We find two things. The first thing we find, that God will laugh at their calamity. It's interesting that he says in verse 26, he says, I will mock. Notice when your fear cometh, not if. When your fear cometh as desolation, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, God says He will laugh. Interesting, isn't it? By the way, calamity will come. It's just a matter of time. Distress and anguish will come. When it does, God's going to laugh. It's a sobering thought, isn't it?
Amen.
But then there's a second thing. We see that God will not answer when they call upon Him. Verse 27, when your fear cometh a desolation. Verse 28, I'm sorry. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. You see, in their trouble, this is what happens. It happens all the time, whether the person be simple, or whether they be a scorner, or whether they be a fool. Understand what happens when trouble comes. The same thing happens to us all. What do? We cry out to God.
Amen.
Oh God, help me! Oh God! I'm in trouble! You read it. He said he's not going to answer. He's not going to hear. You say, why is that? The reason he will not answer is because they're not crying out in repentance. They're not crying out acknowledging that God is right and they're wrong. Oh God, forgive me, I made wrong. No, not at all. They're not crying out with a desire to get right with God. They're simply crying out for God to remove the problem. They're crying out for God to remove the pain. God, please fix my mess. But there's no repentance. So God doesn't answer. He doesn't answer. You know, there's an interesting saying. You've heard it. There's no atheists in foxholes. People that deny God, deny the Bible in their everyday life, shake their fist at God. They don't want anything to do with Him, or vice versa. When trouble comes, oh God! God says in verse 31 that they're going to eat the fruit of their own way. They're going to be filled with their own devices. Sounds to me like Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. All of this is happening. Why? Why is it happening? One reason, because they refuse to embrace God's wisdom.
Right.
You know, the beautiful thing about this passage is that it doesn't end on a bad note. It actually ends on a good note.
Amen.
Look at verse 33. Here's the contrast. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely.
Amen.
And shall be quiet from fear of evil.
Praise the Lord.
There it is. You listen to God. He's got you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You see, there are two ways to go through this world. Our way or God's way?
Right.
And tonight I want to ask you the question, which is going to be? Which one are we going to choose? Are we going to listen to the cry of wisdom, this woman that's going throughout the streets waving her arms saying, listen to me, I have the answer, I have your back, I got what's best for you, follow me, you'll be blessed. You'll have the peace and joy that I can give to you. I'll lead you in every area of life. Keep doing that. You will find yourself in a place you don't want to be.
Amen.
Let's all of us tonight choose God's wisdom.
Amen.
Have you gotten to the place where you realize, I don't have any wisdom myself. I need God's wisdom. And whatever he says, even though I may not even understand why. I don't have to understand why.
Amen.
It may not even make sense. Tithing does not make sense. It, mathematically.
Right.
It does spiritually, though.
Amen.
And I find that, and you found as well, that when we do what he says, it works.
Praise the Lord.
He blesses us.
Praise the Lord.
Stop pursuing your way.
Amen.
Pursue God's wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray.